Let's go in our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I had one more request I had on my list. I forgot to mention it. We sent out an email today. That was just partly, mostly for our school here, but it affects, you know, our church family as well. We had to let Mrs. Hodges go from being a teacher here, Ryan Hodges, at the school. Not for any disciplinary reasons or anything bad like that, just enrollment numbers are lower. The tuition isn't there to cover another salary. So please pray for their family. They're on vacation this week. She kind of asked if we would talk about it when she wasn't here, so everybody kind of knows. So be in prayer for her. It's a big change in their life, major change, and those can be hard. So be in prayer for Ryan, and looking forward for what the Lord will have for her next in her life, that she'd give her and Jason, you know, guidance as to what she can do next, as she maybe looks for work and what to do. And then be in prayer for the school this year as we look forward to, I don't want to even talk about school quite yet, but I know I have to get prepared for it. I know we're in the middle of vacation, but as we look forward to the next school year, we already have plans, and we have to make adjustments to staff that are still there. Be in prayer for them as we take on, you know, slightly different setup and some new adjustments that need to be made, that the students, well, we believe they'll get still the best education possible. And the most important thing is that focus on Christian character and growing up and loving God and loving His Word and serving Him with their life. So please pray as we go forward for that, and pray for the Hodges family this week. As we go into Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians 4, we're going to read a short passage here. I love many of these Pauline epistles. They're just, you start reading and you almost can't stop because they just keep flowing, they keep building. I was reading this probably about 2 weeks ago, and I planned on reading just like the first two chapters because I had already read some stuff, and I ended up reading through the whole book because it was good. And then God put these couple verses on my heart to preach to you tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 17. Verse number 17, the title of the message is it time to change? And that's a question. Is it time to change? Now, I've just preached on change the last sermon I preached. This is a different kind of change, all right? This is, you'll see once we get in here what I mean by it. Verse number 17, the Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So Paul's going to do a comparison here between two groups of people. He's speaking to Gentiles mostly, just because of where this church is in Ephesus. The majority of the population there would be non-Jewish people. So that's why in the verse he specifies that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, what's the difference between the Gentiles he's writing to here and the church and the other Gentiles? It's their salvation in Jesus Christ, their belief as a Christian. As he goes on, he's going to compare the two groups. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. That's something we even prayed for here tonight, and I often include in my prayers for someone to be saved, is that God would open up their eyes, that He would awaken their heart. It says here that they have their understanding darkened. Have you witnessed to somebody who just, they just don't get it? They don't see it. They're missing what you're talking about. It's almost can be you're talking two different languages, that they don't understand the things you're talking about. Maybe they don't understand the severity of it. Maybe they just think it's, you know, that's nice. Church is a nice thing that teaches us to be good people. But they lack the spiritual understanding and the eternal consequence that salvation will have on them. And I pray God, for a couple things, awaken their eyes is kind of the illustration Paul is using here, because of the blindness of their heart. And it refers to the gospel as the glorious light of the gospel that shines in our hearts. And praise the Lord for that glorious light. We pray for their hearts to be softened. We pray for faith. And I encourage you, if you've been praying for a loved one for a while, keep praying for them. Never give up on the prayers for someone to be saved, because you don't know the moment some light will creep through, and all the groundwork that's been laid, all the seeds and watering that's been done, finally take root, and something happens in their heart. Keep praying. Verse number 19, this is a sad part. who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Man, there's some that you pray for, you try to reach, and they just seem like it's not that they're sincere, it's not even that they're nice and they don't get it. I've witnessed to people who've told me, I understand what you're saying, but I just can't believe it. Like, they just don't have the faith. And you feel for those people, and you pray for faith. And there's some you meet who are just outright antagonistic to the gospel. And they have no understanding even of your beliefs. They don't care what you're saying. They have no respect for the things of God. In fact, they actively work against it. If you've turned on the news this month, you may have seen some of that in action, as there's all kinds of events going on and parades and wickedness where, I mean, there's some people who are just deceived and they're just in blindness and they need light. And then there's others, man, it is their life's mission to tear down the things that God says. And you wonder, God, could you get hold of that person? It's hard, but the answer is still yes. Yes, God can change their lives. But it's a dangerous place to be when it says there you're past feeling. You may be like Christ said to Saul on the road, he's kicking against the pricks, a reference to an ox goad, a man on a cart or behind a plow with that pokey stick trying to keep him moving. And it's dangerous when people stop feeling that. We pray that God would soften their hearts. Verse number 20, here's the other side. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. He's saying, if it's true, you're not like that group who's past feeling. You're not like the group that's still blinded. He says, if you haven't learned Christ that way. Christ has made a difference in your life. And if ye have heard him, if ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, here's what should happen. Verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And we know what the scripture says about the battle between the old man and the new man. Verse number 23 tells us about that new man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the chapter goes on, and the rest of the book even, to list some of those changes that should happen in our lives. It talks here, we're not going to go into these points tonight, but it talks about lying. It talks about your anger. It talks about stealing. It talks about corrupt communication that comes out of your mouth. And the bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. And then it tells us to be, verse number 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He goes on to say that if you are a new person in Christ, it will change you. You'll not be part of fornication and wickedness and the deceitfulness of the world, but you'll have things in order. You'll be wise. You'll walk circumspectly. You'll be filled with the Spirit. You'll speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you'll rejoice in the Lord. This is what the children of light should be doing. That you'll give thanks always for all things. And you'll have relationships in the right place. It's kind of halfway through chapter 5 through most of the start of chapter 6. Talking about the relationship between a husband and wife, of servants and masters, of children and parents. Those proper relationships are a result of the difference Christ can make in your life. And then, of course, the book ends with the armor of God and the willingness to go into the fight once you have put on the right things. You're not ready for the battle if you forget your daily walk with the Lord, if you forget to change. There's a difference that should be in a life of a Christian, and Paul talks about that difference in the need for daily Christianity. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that he dies daily. He has to put himself to death daily. So what? So that Christ can live in him. He goes on in Galatians chapter number 2, where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that he lives now, he lives through the grace of the Son of God, who I'm drawing a blank on the verse. Never. This is advice for preachers. Never start a verse you can't finish. Amen. It's bad. Amen. I live. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you. Thanks for saving me. But that daily need. Daily. I fear often, and I know it's happened in my own life, that the idea of our Christianity can become very abstract. It become very spiritualized. It can be very almost unattainable. It's just platitudes that we talk about. It's goals that I know I should have. But we fail to attack them. We fail to reach them. We fail to live by them daily. Just the other day, my dad was nice enough to come to our house, and our neighbor, Jan, I keep backing up further and further into the story. What time is it? Okay, I can't go too far back, all right? Beside our house, we had a bunch of sumac. I hesitate to call them trees, but they're like trees. They have that big pink fluffy thing on the end. You've probably seen them alongside the roads. They grow up quick, but their trunks are incredibly weak. Like a pretty thick one, you can crack in half. They're not very strong, but they grow fast. If I don't mow the yard in a week, they're coming up in the grass. I mean, they grow up really quick. So we got rid of them. I said, if you want to take those down, by all means, help yourself. So he did, and now I have a dirt patch. And of course, you can't just leave a dirt patch and hope one day grass appears. That doesn't happen, right? You got to put in some extra work. And I didn't want to, because a lot of where we live, it's all rocks underneath the dirt. We're on Ridge Road. It's all river rocks underneath, just a little bit of, so it's a nonstop thing. If you dig under that far, you're hitting rocks. And the idea of having nice dirt for grass, you don't want the rocks. You want to get all the rocks out and have some dirt. Never going to happen, all right? So my dad comes over with the tractor. He's going back and forth with a York rake, and I had the kids and myself out there, and it hadn't rained yet. It was before this week of our downpours. It was a little dusty, just a little bit dusty. I felt it in my teeth when we were done. It's in there. You had to scrape off. Never had that happen, and maybe it's just me. Well, you got like a little line of dirt across your front teeth because you've been a little gritty in your mouth. And I went inside to change after being out there for a couple hours working, and I took off my socks, and you could see a line right here where there was my sock was covering and where my sock stopped. And I was a darker shade than normal where my sock wasn't. It was, I know this color, I see it all the time, but where my leg was exposed to the dust for a couple hours, it was dirty. I brought something in for you. This was last week, so you can imagine. These are the socks I wore that day. I haven't washed them. They got a little dirty. Would you like to hold them? No, I didn't think so. Thank you. Thank you. But on a serious note, it was a dirty job. And you expect to get dirty when you do a dirty job. When I put these on in the morning, although they weren't brand new socks, they were clean. They were washed fresh. They were pretty good. And then I did some work in them, and they got dirty. Now, if I compare them to a brand new pair of socks, I just got these ones, you might think that's just dirty white until you see it against clean white. And you can really see the difference in what happens when I put them to use. Right? They did their job that day. Let's get rid of those. They were dirty. These are nice and clean. I love clean socks. I love brand new socks. They never feel the same after you wear them the first time. Christian, we go out into the world daily. We go out into the dirt daily. You absorb it throughout your day. Sometimes even when you're sleeping, your own mind fights against you and brings in the dirt of the world into your own mind. You are, I have to go back down here and pick these up. You might start the day like this, And by the time you've lived in this world for a number of hours, you just get dirty. What would you think if I wore these the next day? They would get worse. If I came over to your house for dinner and I slipped off my shoes and you saw this, you might say, you probably wouldn't say anything because you're polite. But in your mind, you would be thinking, those are some dirty socks. I don't even want to put them on the pulpit. Do you know what we look like spiritually, maybe just at the end of your normal day? Worldliness is all around you. It's coming through our radios. It comes through our windows as you drive by. It comes through your ears and eyes as you walk through the store. It comes through the jokes and language of your coworkers. It comes through our cell phones that we keep in our pockets. It comes through our televisions. It comes through our Facebook streams. Even when you're not looking for it, it's still there. And I'm not even talking about some of the more perverse, you know, things. I'm just saying normal life things that happen. It scans by us all day long. And we get dirty. And that's just talking about the outside influence. But we know Scripture clearly teaches us there's another source of uncleanness that even comes from within. You have your own heart and your own mind that is working against the new man and corrupting. And we can convince ourselves, I'm doing pretty good. And we think, nice and clean. I'm good. And we forget that just by rubbing shoulders in this world and just by living with the old man still within us, no, you're getting dirty. The question I started the message with is it time to change? I got these dirty socks down here. If you saw those, you'd say clearly, yes. But, you know, when I was working, they didn't seem that dirty. And obviously, this is an extreme example. Until you compare it to something that's clean. Then you can really see the difference. Isn't that sometimes how we live our Christian lives? Well, it's not as bad as, it's not as corrupt as, it's not as sinful as, or we just don't even look at ourselves. And just in our own heart and mind think, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Until someone, maybe the Holy Ghost through His Word, maybe it's a preacher, maybe it's a spouse who says, hey, that's not godliness. That's not righteous. That's not holy. That's not clean. Then we have a choice to make. Is it time to change? Or is it time to say, nah, let me shake them out. Let me wipe it off real quick. It'll be okay. I'm good. Did you see what they said? How they act? Ooh, just be thankful you have me. I'm not that bad. And we justify our sin. It says in verse number 22, if we go back to the Scriptures, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is, what's the next word? Let's all get there. Verse number 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is
corrupt.
Corrupt. If you opened a Christmas present and I handed you these dirty socks, would you say thank you very much? I appreciate it. No, you'd look at it and you know that's corrupt. That's dirty. That's used. That's gross. But sin, unfortunately, doesn't always appear that way, especially when it's our sin. Worldliness does not always appear that way when it's what I like to watch, what I like to listen to, what makes me laugh, what I think is okay. But we can't fool ourselves. It is nothing but corrupt. Verse number 23, and be renewed. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man. I don't know about you, but sometimes I will wear some of my clothes 2 days in a row. Am I confessing too much? It depends on the day. If I'm working and it's nasty, obviously you don't wear it again. But I have a little pile beside my bed that my wife loves and adores. It's like my half-worn pile. Does anyone else have a pile like that in their house? Yes, most people do. I've worn it some, but it's not dirty yet. I can wear it again. Well, tomorrow I don't need those clothes, but I think Saturday I'm going to, so it can stay there beside the bed until Saturday when I need to put it on. I don't know if you have that. But you know, there's certain articles of clothing I will never wear the second day, unless it's an grave emergency. One of those is socks. Your feet just smell, they just get dirty. I like new socks. Sometimes twice a day, if I go home and change, I'll put on a new pair of socks. How long has it been since we renewed our mind in Christ? Do we go day after day? Sometimes I wait till the next church service, and I might even be in the building. If that's not a message God really hits me with, then, you know, I came, I sang, I heard, I left, and there was no true renewal going on. There was no changing. There was no putting on the new man. Just another week. And another week. And another week. Until what in our mind looks like this, in reality looks more like those, and we are just covered in the filthiness of life. Is it time to change? The answer is yes. And it's daily. Sometimes it's midday. Sometimes it's morning, midday, and evening. I've got to renew my mind. It'll depend on what maybe you're doing that day, how you're walking with the Lord. If you're having victory, if you're able to, because there's, now we can do practical things to limit our exposure to the world. We can set up blockers, we can change the way we think and what we look at. And you know, there's things you can do to limit some of your exposure. And you can stay kind of clean for a while, but if you know you've been out in it, it's time to renew. Wash it off. Get cleaned up. Spend time with the Lord. Focus back on Him. Focus back on His Word. Don't just go on and think, I'm fine. I'll get it tomorrow. I'll get it the next day. No, the living Christianity is daily. It takes action. It takes effort. It takes work. It's not just going to happen because we think it will. Scripture mentions something here I thought was very interesting. Verse number 24, when it says that you put on the new man, which after God is created. In what things? Created in, what's the next word? Righteousness. And what's the last two? And true holiness. When something is righteous, there's no unrighteousness in it. And it's interesting here, what really stood out is the word true in front of holiness. Because there's a false sense of holiness. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew 15. Got one more passage and kind of one more illustration for you before we close tonight. Matthew chapter number 15. There's a false sense of holiness. Matthew 15, Jesus is speaking with the Pharisees here. They pick some corn or whatever. I forget what they, was it corn that they were eating? They were just eating with unwashed hands. And they got mad at them. It was the bread they were eating with unwashed hands. The Pharisees are mad at them for not washing. And Jesus responds in verse number 11, Matthew 15, 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Jump down to verse 18. He teaches a parable there about the Pharisees and their false leadership. And But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. We see here the contrast between what the Pharisees thought was holy, what was true righteousness, was to do what? You got to wash your hands. A cleaning of the outside. And Christ says, oh, no, it's not the dirt on your hands that's going to defile you. Now, of course, we know he's not talking about germs and sickness here. I think we should wash our hands. He's talking about the defilement of sin. That stems from the heart. How many of you left your house this day without your heart? Left my mind at home. Got up this morning, got dressed, left the old man in the bed. And I was just completely separated from my flesh. That's not how we live. We take the enemy with us everywhere we go. So even if we limit our exposure to the outward influences of the world, which is very hard to do, and we're often ignorant of how much we do allow in, we still take the old man and this heart with us. The true holiness is a true renewal. It's a daily renewal, and it takes attention throughout the day. A dream project my wife and I have at our house is to one day remodel the kitchen. We have an old house, and the kitchen is not ideal, but it's a dream project because that gets expensive. Is that expensive, Brother Ray, to remodel a kitchen? Yeah, it's not one of those things where I got 500 extra bucks, let's remodel the kitchen. You're not going to get very far. I just got to change what the other night. We come home, it's like 9 o'clock. My wife says she's in the basement. She calls me down. She says, there's water running down. So I go in the basement, and there's water running down the rock wall of our basement right behind our washing machine. So I look up, and there's, foam and the ceiling for the upstairs. Above, I know, is the kitchen sink, and there's pipes going there. So I go up to the kitchen sink. Underneath, I don't see anything. So then I go down into the basement, and I start cutting away the foam because we had it spray foamed. And the pipes just disappear into the foam, and it's dripping out of the foam. So I'm in there cutting. There was an electric wire. I found that. I found it safely. I found it, though. I didn't know that was spray foamed up in there with the pipes. And you know what? I cut away a lot of stuff until I could see where it went into the floor. And it ended up the leak was under the sink, and I wasted all that time. But we found it. We fixed it. I put a new faucet in. All that took me, it's a simple job, it took me like 3 runs to the department store at Lowe's to get all the stuff and change out pieces I didn't have, I thought I had, and I got a faucet out that we couldn't actually use because the handle was in the back and the sill of our window is in the back and it would hit it and that, you can't do that. And you know what, as much as I can watch HGTV, as much as I can look at magazines of pretty kitchens, as much as I can wander the aisles of Lowe's, none of that's going to remodel my kitchen. I have to get busy with my hands and with the work and with the effort. You got to get in there or nothing's going to happen. I can picture it. I can think about it. I can have the knowledge. But until I do the action, my kitchen is going to stay the same. You know what I found when I started doing just something minor? I'm not very good at it either. It takes a lot more work than I thought. I thought, easy thing. Change this, change that. Of course, another thing started leaking. Then the pipes don't fit the right. They're not the same size as the old sink. It's a whole bunch of stuff happens. No, we can gather a ton of information about living holy. You come hear another service. You'll listen to sermons online. Memorize verses. But all that gathering of information will not give you a clean life if you don't put it into practice every day. And when you start putting it into practice, you might figure out, I'm not as good at this as I thought. Because we've just been kind of imagining our Christianity. I could ask you today, it's probably a fairer question before the service, but what would you like to have done different today? What would you like to do different next week? And for most of us, I think our mind would go to, well, I wish I could work on this project at the house this week. I wish I maybe had more time with my kids this week. I wish I could do, and we think of very busy work type things that we wish we had time for, energy for. Maybe I wish I could go to the gym more often. Maybe I wish I would. Very few of us, I think, would go to the list that we see there in Ephesians and think, man, I wish next week I would show more kindness. If I could go back and do today again, I would really want to make sure everything I said was true. Because lying just slips in so easy and we throw it out there. No, man, I wish I had resisted some thoughts that I had or some anger that I felt. But that's what Christianity is. That's your battleground. And usually when we go back or we want to look forward, it's more about the busyness. I wish I had time to cut my yard before it was going to rain. And we think about life. But that tells us where our mind is and where our heart is. To be renewed daily, to really change and be clean, it's taking those ideas of Christianity, what the fruit of the Spirit should be in our life, what those lists are in Ephesians and in Galatians and in Philippians, and what Christ teaches, and it's making those things the priority in my day-to-day. And renewing is going back to that and refocusing. Hey, I might not get the grass cut, but I put away lying. I didn't have enough time to finish this project, but I did not get angry at anyone today. Man, it would have been nice to get to the gym, but my thoughts were clean. At the end of the day, as a Christian, which one will have more value? You know the answer. That's our battleground. But we fight day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, to have more time to do all the other stuff. And we get covered in dirt. And how gross those socks were, some of us, that's the way our heart looks right now. We need renewal. Take time throughout your day to renew. Spend time with Christ for a moment. Recenter your heart and mind on the spiritual. Think about the spiritual battle that's taking place. Think about maybe the first half of the day. Hey, where did I get off track already? When I was talking to my coworkers, was I joking around about stuff that was unclean? Was there a moment to do something I should have and I didn't? Have I even spent time with you, the Lord, yet today? It's a lot easier just to wait to Sunday and wait for maybe a prick in your heart and then deal with it then. And forget, no, this is day by day, hour by hour, recenter on the battle that's before us. We talk about the lost, where this passage started, and about being past feeling and the wickedness and the blindness, but we often blind ourselves when we are filthy and gross, convince ourselves that we are clean just because we don't take the time to change. You want to live holy tomorrow? You've got to be thinking about it all day long. You can't put it to the side. You can't forget. You can't worry about it when you close your eyes at night. And you'll mess up. You know what you do? You renew and you change. Put on a new pair of socks. Start the next hour, the next 5 minutes. Whatever time block you need to focus on it. It's worth the fight, amen. Let's stand, we'll pray, and be dismissed tonight. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God tonight. Please be in prayer for our pastor. Be in prayer for the Hodges family. Be in prayer for our upcoming camps. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the forgiveness that we have of sin. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost and the conviction that he can give us. I pray in each one of our hearts tonight as we go and, you know, kind of move on and move forward with our week, that we would be daily reminded of the spiritual battle that we face. Lord, help me never to forget for too long. Lord, if there's a time I stop fighting and, you know, time has gone by, I continue to pray that you would convict me and remind me. Father, this world can be such a dark and corrupt and dirty place. And Father, you have called us to something higher. I pray that you'd given each one of us the heart to walk with you, to spend time with you, and to resist the sinfulness of our own hearts and the corruption that comes from the world. As we go forward this week, give us opportunities to be a light and a testimony. We've heard for some that need to be saved, Father, and I pray that you would open those doors little by little. Help us to be a participant in that effort. Father, we once again just bring up our prayers before you tonight. We trust in your goodness. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Man, thank you for your faithfulness. You are dismissed. God bless you. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Do they have, just for future reference, do they have nursery for the Wednesday night service?
We do. It goes through the normal nursery ages.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
How old is your little one?
She turned 2 in April.
Yeah, so she's still, she'd still be in there. Yeah.
She's a little bit of a Wolverine, but.
That's why we have highly